God and morality. Is God moral? Can we decide that God is fair or unfair, or do we just accept that God must be fair and then defend all his actions? Do we really have the freedom to judge for ourselves? Is our function, as some suggest, to praise the Lord, to be happy and content under all circumstances, because the Lord is good, and never to question the painful situations we find ourselves in? There are many biblical stories which hardly give the idea that God is moral and fair. Take for instance, "And that night the angel of the Lord went forth, and slew 185,000 Assyrians, 2 Kings 1935. Why did the same God not stop the Nazi machine which massacred millions of people in Europe, many of them just as much his children as the Jewish people during the time of Assyria? Did God only defend his people in the Old Testament by killing their enemies? Are the enemies of Israel not God's children too? Why does God not actively kill the baddies in our day and age? Or does he?" Perhaps we should start by considering what it means to be moral. To be moral, ethical, just or righteous means to work on the principle of right or good conduct and to live by a body of such principles. Children demonstrate this ability at an early age, and certainly by the time children go to school the idea that fairness should prevail is well developed. The Old Testament book of Habakkuk concerns itself directly with the question of God's morality or righteousness. At the beginning of the book, 1:1-4, Habakkuk complains that God does nothing about injustice in his land. God's reply is that the Babylonians are coming to punish his people for their wickedness. 1:5-11. Habakkuk is mystified that God would allow the evil Babylonians to punish his people. 1:12-17. God's reply seems to be, "Don't worry about all that. The Babylonians will also reap what they sow." 2:1-20. There are many questions that bring the morality of God into focus. Some of these are as follows. Is it fair to resurrect and then destroy sinners at the end of the millennium? Revelation 20. To prove a point about the fairness of God, some of these people have already suffered terrible pain and agony with their first death. Is it moral for God to allow pain and destruction on this earth for millions, perhaps billions of creatures, so that in the long run he benefits himself? Is it fair for God to punish the Israelites on the ratio of a year's punishment for a day's rebellion? Numbers 14:34. Does that not sound harsh and arbitrary? One writer makes the point that God could have destroyed Satan and his sympathizers as easily as one can cast a pebble to the earth, but he did not do this. Rebellion was not to be overcome with force. Compelling power is found only under Satan's government. God's government is moral, and truth and love are to be their prevailing power. D.A. 759. Ifthus is true. How is it that God parentalizes force and death, such as at the time of the flood, in order to preserve righteousness? What about sending snakes to teach the rebellious Israelites a lesson or two in the desert? Is that not using compelling force? Or take the following New Testament passage. "Thus he not only shows mercy as he chooses, but also makes men stubborn as he chooses." You will say, "Then why does God blame a man? For who can resist his will? Who are you, sir, to answer God back? Can the pot speak to the potter and say, 'Why did you make me like this?'" Romans 9:18-20. This passage hardly pictures a just situation for moral beings. On the contrary, it gives the impression of a mechanistic, manipulative creator. Would it be just for God to kill us since he is our creator and because he has warned us repeatedly against disobedience and evil? If, as Jesus taught, our forgiveness is to know no limits, that is, 70 times 7 implies ongoing forgiveness. Matthew 18. How consistent is it for God to step in and execute those who are opposed to him? Or are they forgiven first and then executed? Is it not morally cynical to place the rainbow of promise in the clouds to give us the security that the world will never experience a universal destruction by water when God plans to destroy the planet by fire? According to 1 Chronicles 22:8, David was not allowed to build the temple because he was a man of blood. What has this got to do with building a temple for God if God sheds blood and the temple service required thousands of slain lambs each year? The battle between good and evil has to do with deciding between God's government and Lucifer's, or the devil's, alternative lifestyle. Would using force and violence not negate all that God has worked for through the centuries? If God destroys sinners at the end of time, could he not do it more humanely? We reject people who burn others. Why do we then accept that it is moral for God to burn the opposition? Some who believe in the great love and justice of God are happy to accept not only that God burns sinners, but that hellfire lasts forever. Believing that God burns people means that he is rather brutal in his methods. Burning is not a very nice way to leave this life. It has been used on the argument that the stake or the necklace functions as a strong deterrent. The argument hardly holds when only saints are left after this final holocaust. Then the everlasting burning creates another set of moral problems. Surely the punishment should sweet the crime. An everlasting hell can hardly be considered a moral or just punishment for someone who has sinned for a maximum of 70 years. If God finally settles the controversy by force, how does the cross of Christ fit into the whole picture? Is the cross a temporary revelation of God's justice and mercy? Is his real justice still to come at the end of the world? Any perspective or model of God must answer to the above questions in a way that makes moral sense even to the unbelieving, secular mind. It is not good enough to have God's friends concur on his morality. Divine morality must be a universal concept, recognized by both friend and foe alike. That this will occur is predicted in the scriptures. Philippians 2:10. Why would this happen unless it is recognized by all that God has been just and moral in all that he has done? I believe that God is moral. While what is happening on this sin-stricken planet will vindicate God and immunize the universe against sin and selfishness, that is not why it is happening. The sin experience is not God's will. The universe would have been better off without the trauma and tragedy of sin on this planet. However, in a free society, the risk is always there and will always be there for anyone to exploit. We are free precisely because we can and adapt out of God's lifestyle, and the awful conditions on this planet prove this. In all our sorrows and pains, God has to watch and restrain himself from actively preventing the consequences of our choices. This is real life. God tried his best to communicate with us by prophets and priests, but he never could get through to us. Eventually he came in the person of Jesus, the Christ, and we murdered him at Calvary. Acts 7:52. That is the depth to which our rebellion has led. It is fratricide. God has not and never will destroy any of his creatures, for any reason. It is immoral to punish someone who, out of free choice, did not choose your option. To destroy a living creature for exercising free choice is to negate the purpose of a good creation. Since only God is immortal, 1 Timothy 6:16, all creatures are mortal and, left alone long enough, will die. We only live because God sustains us in his mercy. Thus, it is unnecessary to destroy any creature since all creatures are mortal and thus doomed to death. The many Old Testament stories of God killing left, right and center are the writers' opinions of why they died. One example to substantiate this claim will suffice since most questions raised are answered in other essays. According to 1 Chronicles 10:4, King Saul committed suicide by falling on his sword. According to verse 14 of the same chapter, the Lord put him to death. We can hardly say that God placed suicidal thoughts in Saul's mind. So how can the writer make such contradictory statements? Probably they were not contradictory for the writer at all. He would have been a firm supporter of monotheism, and would have not wanted to yield any space to any other supernatural being, good or bad. In this case, the only person that can be blamed is God. It happens still. Many funeral remarks include, "For as much as it has pleased Almighty God to take Saul, as I understand it, committed suicide rather than fall into the hands of the enemy. He doubted God was on his side and was in severe depression. In my way of thinking, God had nothing to do with his death. I believe God is moral, ethical, just, and righteous, because he works on the principles of right or good conduct and lives by a body of such principles. I want to summarize this by saying, God not only loves us, but that he is himself love. There is no unkindness, no vindictiveness, no evil of any kind in his being. He is light and there is no darkness in him at all. All that is evil, including death and pain, is from another source. If there were no sin, there never would have been death or pain. God will never stoop to employ means that sin uses to solve any problem. He is far more creative and far too moral to resort to such means. God's goodness is wonderfully demonstrated in his responses, even under extreme provocation. He has never entertained vindictive thoughts or purposed vengeful actions which are so common on our planet. What a God.